From the Gospel of Luke in chapter 11, our reading begins with verse 1. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Some of you have offered your congratulations to me upon attaining 25 years of marriage with my lovely wife this week. As I received your congratulations, I understand that some of you extended to her your condolences. But either way, it's been a wonderful journey in which I have now been with Manya longer than I've been without her. And it gets better every day. But we're grateful for the time that we had this week. We even took off a day or so and we went to Memphis. And we spent the night at the Grand Hotel of the South, the Peabody. While we were there, Luke and Noah went with us the first day just to visit a few minutes before they returned home. And we were approaching the time for the famous ducks to make their walk. But the boys were hungry. Noah wanted to leave. Luke wanted to watch the ducks. And Noah won because he pulled seniority, right, being the oldest. So they left. They didn't get to see the ducks. But the next day, Manya and I felt so bad for Luke that we went to watch the ducks for him. We saw them the next day. And it just seemed to be one of those things that you couldn't pass up. Sure, it took a little bit of time. Yes, it was a little congested in that area. But we had an opportunity before us that we didn't get very often. And we didn't want to let it pass by. Now, we were also given another opportunity on our anniversary evening. They gave us a free movie. Well, you know, as the night was winding on and Manya and I were talking, I said, "Do you really want to watch this movie?" She said, "Absolutely. It's free. I want to take advantage of everything that they've provided us." Well, you know, in both of those accounts, I'm reminded of a deep gift, dear church, that we have in our relationship with God. The gift of prayer that is spoken about in our scripture today, sometimes in our life, it can be, if we're quite honest, an inconvenience if we look at prayer on the surface. Who has time to devote to an intentional and a persistent prayer life? But you see, as we think about, as I had that opportunity to see those ducks, and I didn't want to let it pass by, friends, we have an opportunity far greater than that from Almighty God to spend time with us intimately and daily to nurture us in our fervent life as we seek to journey. But also, as I talked about having that opportunity for that free movie, who among us wants to let a sale go by? Who among us, if we go to our favorite department store and they say, you buy one and you get the other one free, is going to say, no, I didn't really want the free one. Let me just buy the one I wanted to buy. If it's provided for us, we want to take full advantage. Friends, we have a gift, a free, intimate relationship that God wants to share with us. Shouldn't we cherish and take advantage of what our Lord has provided for us? A prayer, an intimate journey with the Lord of life. In our scripture today, we hear that prayer, as Luke records it in his gospel, was so important to Jesus that not only did Jesus talk about prayer, he actually prayed. He believed in prayer so much, he practiced what he preached. So our Lord Jesus demonstrates, as Luke describes it throughout his gospel, times where he went away by himself to have intimate in private prayer with his Father in heaven. But today in this scripture, we hear where Luke transitions from Jesus not only exemplifying and demonstrating prayer, but he also encourages his friends and guides them in a way to strengthen their prayer life and grow in the grace of our Lord. Martin Luther, the great reformer of our church, once said this about prayers. We think about the time that it takes to devote to a serious prayer life. Luther said, I have so much to do that I shall have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer every day so that I can get it all done. You see, Luther understood that the journey of life, for we as people of faith, it's essential for us to be strengthened, to be comforted, and to be guided in that intimate walk with our God known as prayer. In the text today, in this beautiful, loving Lord's Prayer that many of us know by heart, Jesus introduces this concept of the Lord's Prayer to his friends as we cherish it even today. You know, if you think of the introduction of this prayer, and Luke records it a little differently than we in the modern day church have translated it. But Luke begins these words with our Lord Jesus reminding us that the Lord's Prayer is a prayer in many ways that we can receive as the Trinity to our God. It's a prayer to the Father, a prayer to the Son, and a prayer to the Spirit. Hear this with me. As Luke begins here, in verse 2 he says, hallowed be your name. I think of that a way for us to praise the Father in heaven. May what we do bless your name, O God. Hallowed be your name. And then our Lord Jesus transitions from hallowed be your name to your kingdom come. When we as Christian people think of the kingdom of God, then we understand that it was Jesus who is the King of all creation. It was Jesus who came to this earth and established His reign, and it is Jesus who we will live with as His people forever. So the prayer is, hallowed be the name of the Father, but may we live our lives in ways daily that exemplify, that flesh out the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ in the world around us. We do that when we serve this community. We do that when we partner with ministries like for Together for TIPA. We do that when we encourage our young people in their plays and performances. We do that when we serve those addicted to substance in our community. We help bear fruit that Jesus Christ's kingdom is present for all to see. And then finally, in the preamble that we use today, we say, Your will be done. You know, I think that's an application and a surrender for us in our prayer to the Holy Spirit. Not my will. Not what I want so much, God. I know what I want. And I pray that when I'm centered on You, that my wants are consistent with my needs. But most of all, God, may it be Your will for my life. May my prayers be subservient to what is best to glorify Your name. That's the way our prayer begins, the Lord's Prayer. A praise of the Father. A commission to bring forth the kingdom of Jesus and a surrender to the will of the Spirit. Friends, when we pray like that, we are centered in the power that comes from only God. You know, as Luke talks about prayer in his gospel, we're also reminded in his writing to the book of Acts, of the Acts of the Apostles, that Luke symbolizes that the power of the early church, the growth and explosion of this new faith known as Christianity, was rooted, dear church, in prayer. It is the prayer of the faithful that bring forth God's love in the world around us. As we think about this transition from the praise of God, the prayer also says to us in verse 3, give us. It's written uniquely here today in this translation. Give us each day our daily bread. We need God daily. But as Randall Beavers and I were visiting this week and we were discussing the Lord's Prayer, that this prayer, Randall said, it's not just for others, it's for us. And it's not just for us, it's for others. It's a both and. This prayer is one that we lift up for one another. I was reminded of a poem that I saw recently that I want to share with you, where it speaks of the collective nature of the Lord's Prayer, the unity of lifting the needs of another. The title of this poem is Can't Say Me. Here is the words. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say I. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say my. Nor can you pray the Lord's Prayer and not pray for another. For to ask for our daily bread, you include your sister and brother. All God's children are included in each and every plea. From the beginning to the end of it, it does not once say me. Friends, our Lord Jesus wanted to communicate to us that one of the great gifts of prayer is not so much for lifting up our individual wants, but to lift up the needs of those around us. Isn't there a beautiful power in the petitions of each other? Isn't that why we celebrate as a central part of our worship the prayers of the people? We don't call this the prayers for Jody or the prayers for me or the prayers that I want, but the prayers for the people that we share this journey with. Friends, it's consistent with the sacrificial nature of our faith. It's consistent with our Lord Jesus, who said we should seek to serve those around us, to live out in ministry for others. And if we want to do that in how we practice our faith, then wouldn't we do that in how we pray in our faith? May we pray for each other and see the power of God working and strengthening those He's entrusted us to minister to for His glory. Give us our daily bread, our Lord says. He transitions from this prayer of praise to supplication, where we ask God to supply our daily needs for all of us around us. And then He transitions in verse 4 to say, "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us." You hear what I hear here. Matthew Henry, as I reflected on his commentary this week, reminded me that God doesn't forgive us because we're forgiving. God forgives us because our Almighty God is forgiving and loving and gracious. In the words of this text, it doesn't say so much, "God forgive us because we're so good to forgive." No, we, dear friends, as people of faith, have no choice as Christians but to forgive. There's an assumption, it seems, in the words of Jesus here. He's just assuming that we are going to forgive. That is who we are as Christians. We are people of forgiveness. We claim it as the gift of life, and we practice it as symbols of His servitude to the world around us. You hear how our Lord says it? "Forgive us our sins, and we ourselves forgive others." It's not negotiable. We Christian people forgive. He also says, beyond forgiveness, a request of the Lord: "Lead us not into the time of trial," or as we often pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." I heard a theologian say once that we should be as fervent to pray for God to deliver us from the trials, to deliver us from temptation, as we pray for God to forgive us. You see, it's the understanding of what sin, of what walking away from God can do in our life when we pray for God to deliver us from temptation. I'm reminded of the little joke I've shared with some of you before, of the wife who loved to shop. She had a shopping addiction, if you can have such a thing. Men, can you have a shopping addiction? I guess you can. But this wife had an addiction, and the husband said to her, "When you're tempted to buy something you don't need, just pray that simple prayer, 'Get thou behind me, Satan.'" And his wife began practicing it, and it worked quite well until one day she came home with this beautiful dress, and it was so immaculate. And the husband said, "Honey, what happened? I thought you were going to practice your prayer." She said, "I did. But I made a mistake. I tried it on, and as I was looking in the mirror at the dress, it looked so lovely. But then I remembered the prayer, and I said, 'Get thou behind me, Satan.' And then I heard a voice that said, 'I am behind you, and it looks even better from back here.'" She was not able to resist the temptation. Friends, we laugh. But may we fervently take serious God's desire for us to be strengthened in our journey. Jesus is telling us here that God, through the Holy Spirit, works in us to strengthen us, to resist the things we don't need in our life, to understand that the grace and joy of our Lord is found when we more closely walk in the steps of Jesus our Lord. You see, for years in my life, I shared with someone recently, as I began taking my faith seriously, I tried to resist doing the things I didn't need to do and embrace the things that I thought Christ wanted me to do. And you know what? I was just trying to live by a list of do's and don'ts, and I failed miserably. But when things started turning around, is when I truly understood in a greater way, not completely, the true grace of God. That Jesus, our Lord, calls us to walk in His ways for our good, for our benefit. The prayer is to resist temptation, not so we don't have any fun, but that we may know the fullness of joy found only in our Lord. Friends, that's the gift of life in Christ. You know, Tom Rainer is the retiring CEO of Lifeway, an accomplished author. And Rainer's also recognized as a great leader of people and in the church and of faith. Rainer says this statement about change in the church, but as we hear these words, I think they could also apply to us about the change in a personal life or in what we need to grow in our walk with God. Hear these words of Rainer. He said that prayer is not an option in leading change in the church. It's foundational. You are not smart enough to lead change. You need to pray for wisdom. You are not brave enough to lead change. You need to pray for courage. You are not strong enough to lead change, Pastor. You need to pray for strength. Please pardon me for being redundant, Rainer says, but I will say it one more time. I've never seen successful and sustaining change take place in a church without prayer. Friends, if prayer is essential for those who seek change, it's essential for us in every walk of our life. If you, dear soul, today are in need of a little more direction for a career choice, for what you're going to do with the rest of your life, and in the words of Rainer, pray for wisdom. If you, dear soul, are challenged with a shortcoming or facing a challenge in your life, then pray for courage. If you, dear family, are facing a crisis in your marriage or in the lives of your family, then pray for strength and direction. Whatever our needs are, our God is willing and eager to hear and deliver. Lord, teach us to pray so that we may reflect your grace more daily for all to see. Amen.